the book of the Revelation and the 20th chapter. The 20th chapter of Revelation, please. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation 20, we're going to read this whole chapter together. Revelation 20, reading together from verse 1. Revelation 20, verse number 1. Let us read and hear the word of God. "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven, and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Amen. We'll end our reading there. And we know that God will bless the reading of the word to every heart. It is verse 14 that our meditation will be on tonight. "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death." Most solemn words, and yet words given by God. Words given by God to be preached until Jesus comes, until he comes for his church, to take it home to heaven, and so be forever with the Lord. And therefore, by the help of God, we look at verse 14 tonight. "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death." Let us all unite our hearts in prayer. And let's just, realizing the message before us, let us all prayerfully approach God as we are before him. And the word has been read, and the scripture has been appointed, and the text shown. Let us all pray together, please. Almighty God and Father in heaven, in the quietness and stillness of this meeting house, we draw near by Jesus' blood to the throne. We cast ourselves before thee. We bring afresh the meeting. We thank thee, Lord, for the reading of Scripture. We thank Thee for a Bible that tells us what we're to believe concerning God and tells us what duty God requires of man. And we thank Thee, Father, for it. We thank Thee for a book that tells us the way to heaven and the way to escape the hell of the lost. And O God, as we come to look at this tonight, we cry to Thee that You'll close us in. There isn't a preacher on earth that's able for these things. Lord, just stand among us. It was said of Paul, notwithstanding the Lord stood with him. Stand with us tonight in this pulpit. Stand in the midst of the congregation. And by the Holy Ghost, do that work which needs to be done in sinners' hearts. Save in this meeting. Convict of sin. Lead to faith in Jesus' blood from the youngest to the eldest. O God, Thou knowest the need of every heart. Meet it tonight. Bind Satan and every power of darkness that will go against the preaching of this message. And I confess my great inadequacy before God's throne, before this congregation, to deal with what is before me now in this meeting. Empty me now of self and sin. Wash this vessel completely in Jesus' blood. Fill me now with the Holy Ghost and with power. Grant that divine baptism. Grant that heavenly unction. O Spirit of God, how we need Thee now. Come, O God, we cry, and answer prayer for this meeting. And bless us, and we will ascribe to Thee the glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The setting in which verse 14 is found is as follows. The second coming has taken place. The Lord Himself has descended from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ have risen first. Yes, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the trumpet has been sounded. The Son of Man has come in all His glory and all His holy angels with Him. The angels have gathered the elect from the four corners of the earth. But the lost, they have all now been gathered before the white throne. They stand for judgment. There they will give account to the Lamb upon that throne. Yes, that Lamb that was for sinners slain. These books will open, and every book will bear truth. And bear the facts. And the sinner will be judged out of those things which were written in those books according to their works. Oh, the silence that will have swept over such a gathering. Oh, this moment as the sinner in all his sin stands before the infinitely holy Christ. And there he stands before that throne in all his sin before the one who was the Lamb for sinners slain. Every unheeded word of every preacher now only driving through their soul, haunting them about their folly, about despising the message of the gospel, time without number. And as John 20 says, it's the moment the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books are opened. Oh, dear men and women, to quote the words of our Lord, as he stood at the pool of Bethesda, and he said, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves will hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto everlasting life, and they that have done evil unto everlasting damnation. Oh yes, hear the words of Christ as he stood there at the pool of Bethesda. And that word Bethesda, it means the house of mercy. And there's the Christ of mercy. And he says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. Yes, dear people, marvel not at it. There is a judgment. There is a resurrection from the dead. There is a meeting of God for every soul, for death and hell. Body and soul, as we're going to see, will be cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. That's what I want to speak on tonight. I'm just going to take those words out of Scripture. The second death, sinner. The second death. We're going to look at it. We're going to look at this scene. There is no scene like it. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. The first thing I want to show you about it is this. The Bible declares it. The Bible declares the second death. Verse 14, our text. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. It's revealed. That's the truth I want to begin with. This subject of a second death is revealed in Scripture. Many times in the Word of God, the Bible speaks of second things with the inference that there was a first thing. The first time the word second is used in the Bible is in Genesis 1. I want to go there. Genesis 1 verse 8. If you don't have a Bible, don't worry. Just listen. I'll explain it to you. Genesis 1 verse 8. And it reads there, "And God called the firmament heaven." Here we are at creation. Genesis 1 verse 8. "And the evening and the morning were the second day." The thought being, there's been a first day, now this is the second day. That's the first time we have the word second used in the Bible. Or go over to Genesis 2 verse 10. Here's the next time. Look at Genesis 2:10. "And a river went out of Eden to water the garden. And from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison." Go down to verse 13. "And the name of the second river is Gion." Again, it's the term "this second," giving the thought of a first and a second. Or we can think of Genesis chapter 50, don't turn there, where there's famine in the land. Genesis 47, rather. "And the Egyptians come to Joseph." And the Bible says, after that year, they came to him a second time. The thought being, they had been there the once, and now they've come a second time. Is this thought of a second happening? Or in the New Testament, our Lord in Gethsemane, as he sweated great drops of blood, as he was going out to redeem his bride. The Bible says in Matthew 26, he went again the second time and prayed. Again, the thought being, he had prayed before, and now he's going for a second time to pray. Or 1 Corinthians 15, the first Adam, the second Adam. Or as we've been singing about, there's been a first coming of Christ and the incarnation, and now there'll be a second coming. But we're dealing tonight with a second death. Again, the thought being, there's a first death, and then there's the second death. Go back with me there to Revelation 20. Again, let's see it. The Bible declares it. "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. The Bible declares. I tell you this, the Bible also describes it. What is this second death? Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. You see, that is symbolic terms there for death and hell. It means body and soul. Read it like that. "And body and soul were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death." You see, we've read this whole chapter. Before we come to verse 14, there's been the judgment. They've been standing for judgment. The resurrection has taken place. Bodies have risen from the graves. Souls have returned from hell. They have stood again. Complete persons. That's the thought. Standing for judgment. The word where it says they stood before the great white throne. It's the same word as used in Acts 1 verse 8 where it says, why stand ye men of Galilee gazing up into heaven? It's the same word. This thought of standing. Now it's body and soul reunited. You see, the first death, what is death? Death's the separating of the soul from the body. It's the departure of the soul. It's the soul going to its eternal home. But the second death for the sinner is both body and soul going into the hell that awaits the Christ rejecter. Oh yes, here we see it. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. The thought is complete persons. That's the thought. Complete persons. Whether you're a church attender or not, we've all heard of Judas Iscariot. He's the one that betrayed Christ. 30 pieces of silver. But the Bible tells us that in the field of blood, or as in the Hebrew it's called a seldomah, to this moment the remains of Judas Iscariot's body lie there. And from that moment that he died, his soul has been in hell. But the Lord says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves will hear their voice. And I tell you, dear people, from the field of blood, from the field of a seldomah, Judas will rise again, and his soul will come out of the hell that has held him, and he'll be reunited as he was, as a complete person, to stand before God for final judgment. That's the meaning of death and hell, body and soul. To this moment, 2014, hell is made up of the souls of the lost. But after this moment, after the resurrection, after the final judgment, hell will be made up of the complete person, body and soul. And here the Lord's telling us through his word, this is the second death. Death and hell. It means complete persons cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. The term is also a description of the fulfilling of Scripture. You see, remember what it says in 1 Corinthians 15. In verse number 26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Now you think about that. And here we have in Revelation 20:14, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. We already said what death is. Death is the separation of the soul from the body as we know it now. And no more. After this moment will the body and soul ever be separated again. Up until now, yes, the soul abides separately in the hell of the Christ rejecter. But sinner, I want you to see this, that there's a day coming when body and soul will stand for final judgment, never to be separated again, the complete person lost. Complete person lost. You see, death is the penalty of a broken law. Men die because of sin. And the second death is just the continuous result of a broken law and its penalty and the wrath of God being poured out upon that broken law. But after the judgment, it's upon both body and soul. Up until this moment, it's just the soul. It's just the soul that's lost. But after this moment, it's body and soul. And Jesus says, marvel not at it, because the hour is coming when across this globe as we now know it and this old fallen world, when all that are in the graves will hear the voice of Christ, and they will come forth. And they that have done good unto a resurrection of life, but they that have done evil unto a resurrection of damnation. Body and soul to stand again for judgment. Cast your mind back. Let's go down memory lane. About 6,000 years. Go to the book of Genesis chapter 19. And there we see a woman. And she's walking behind her husband. And they're making their way to that mountain of refuge. Lot's wife, of course, I'm speaking about. And the Bible tells us that they were told, look not behind you. Escape for your life. Stay not on the plain. Escape to the mountain. And she looked back. And in a moment, she became a pillar of salt. And in a moment, her soul went to hell. We'll marvel not at this, because somewhere on that road out of the plain, still in the dust, somewhere of the Middle East, lies the remains of Lot's wife. And God knows where she is. At this minute, her soul's in hell. But there's a day coming, Lot's wife will rise again, reunited with the soul that will be brought back out of hell to stand for the final judgment. Oh, the word that she didn't heed. Escape for thy life. You check that portion when you go home. Don't turn to it now. But Genesis 19 makes it clear. She was told, escape for your life. The word escape is used twice. It means get out of the way. Slip away. Make haste. Get away from it. That's the meaning of the word. And twice the Lord says, escape. I tell you, from the youngest to the oldest, there's not one in this meeting doesn't understand the word escape. But there's a difference between understanding it and obeying it. Lot's wife understood it all right. But she didn't obey it. And wouldn't it be awful if in this meeting there was a woman or a man or a young woman or a young man and you understand the meaning of the term all right. Get out of the way. Escape. Judgment's coming. But understanding and obedience in your heart are two different things. You've understood it from your knee height. You've understood it. But you've never obeyed it. Friend, you're in the exact same position as Lot's wife. But remember the words of Jesus Christ at the pool of Bethesda. Marvel not at this. For the hour is coming. When all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. And shall come forth. Yes, from the field of blood, from a cell demise, Judas will rise again. From that path to that mountain that Lot's wife perished on, she will rise again. Oh, dear sinner friend, understand this. It's the second death. It's the reunion of body and soul forever driven away from God. It's the reunion of body and soul standing for judgment and then body and soul being cast into the lake of fire. And dear people, understand this. And I've said this before and I say it in love to your soul. And I say that before God as my witness. If you end up there, you're lost. There's no hope for you. Understand that. As I said one night, I preached on hell. Hell fire is not chastening. Hell fire is not to produce in you a better form of character. Hell fire is to punish you for the character you were. That's what hell fire's for. Hell fire is retribution. Hellfire is the satisfying of the divine justice and the holiness of an infinitely holy God that you have offended time without number. Hellfire makes no man better. Hellfire causes no man to repent because the only thing that causes a sinner to repent is grace. And there's no grace there. Marvel not at this. Oh, picture the scene. The Savior of sinners standing at the pool of Bethesda. He's just saved a man. He's just healed a man. And God has been saving in recent times. But after having saved at the pool of Bethesda, Jesus said this: "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming." Let me just paraphrase it. The hour is coming upon this world in which we live in, where man sits in all his egotism and all his pride and thinks he's the ruler of his own destiny. Well, Jesus Christ says different. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming when all which are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. Sinner, do you see it? All that die without Christ, Christ's voice will summons you from the grave to the judgment and shall come forth. Oh, picture the scene. The second death. Death and hell cast into the lake of fire. That place of defiance. That place of hatred of God. I want you to understand that. I'm just going to take a minute here. Everyone in hell hates God. Understand it. Everyone in hell curses each other and God forever. Wailing, gnashing of teeth in defiance of the Almighty. And death and hell, body, soul, complete persons cast into the lake of fire. Sinner, as you sit in this meeting tonight, you are a complete person. That's what I mean. Body and soul is together. Were you or I to die now, our souls would depart. They would go to our eternal home. In say 3 days, you and I would be carried, our body, to our resting place. And the body would be laid unto Mother Earth. But the soul will have already spent 3 days in its eternal home. Be that heaven, be that hell. But Christ says, marvel not at this. The hour is coming when he's calling them all out of the graves. Yes, the dead in Christ will rise first, and so be forever with the Lord. But I tell you, friend, the judgment day of Christ. Christ is the judge, and Christ is the one that summons to the judgment. Marvel not at this, for all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. What about the duration of the second death? The duration of it. Let's go to Matthew 25. Matthew 25, here the Lord himself speaks in this day. Matthew 25, verse 41. Matthew 25, 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, then to everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. I want you to see that, friend. Hell was first and foremost prepared for Lucifer and the fallen angels, and the devils now that inhabit the regions of darkness. That's who it was prepared for. Those that left not their first, or kept not their first estate. But this text reveals the duration of eternity, the duration of hell, the duration of the second death, because Christ says, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting. It's not ending. That's just what it means. Into everlasting fire, everlasting body and soul, never parting again. Oh, marvel not at this. Marvel not at this. The first death's the soul leaving the body. That's what death is. It's the departure of the soul. We all know that. The departure of the soul into God's eternity. I've used Judas. I've used Lot's wife. They're well known. That's why I used them. But the second death is complete persons, body and soul, cast into the lake of fire, the self-righteous, the thief, the adulterer, the Christ rejecter, all cast away. This is the second death. Oh, dear people, understand that the Bible declares it. The Bible describes it. The Bible shows the duration of it. There's no end to it. What about the great delusion concerning it? And I tell you, there is a delusion. There's a delusion in our world today, and it's an attack upon this doctrine of the second death. I want you to understand that. What is evolution? It's an attack on this doctrine. You see, they tell us that millions of years before man was on earth, dinosaurs roamed the earth, and then they all died out, and then man came on the earth. Listen, dear people, nothing died before man, because as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So nothing died before man was here. Nothing. And nobody. It's all spewed out of hell's library. To try to prove there's no judgment. To try to prove that this resurrection will not take place. But Christ says, marvel not at it. It'll be taking place. I was saved a couple of years. And I remember this man I used to take to an odd gospel meeting. He's now in God's eternity. Many times I would speak to him. He was an absolute genius in many things. He had the degrees. He had the letters after his name. He certainly had. But an awful drink problem, the poor man. But many times I would visit him. But his contempt for the Word of God was frightening. He had no time for it whatsoever. And I remember one night we were sitting chatting, and he got very angry as I spoke to him about his need of Christ. And in those moments that were to follow, he ridiculed the virgin birth. He ridiculed the thought of Christ being conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost. He ridiculed it. Whoever heard anything so ridiculous, he said. It doesn't even make sense. And he says, listen to me, and I'll never forget it as he got cross. Listen to me. I'll be at no judgment because I'm getting cremated and my ashes are going everywhere. That's what he said. He was a genius in many fields. But he had this deluded idea in his mind that he would destroy his body into so many little fragments and those ashes would be scattered everywhere and there would be no judgment for him. I said, Billy. And that was not his name, but I said, Billy, whether you believe it or not, whether you like to believe it or not, Billy, you're standing before God. Cremation isn't getting you out of it. Because, dear people, Jesus said, marvel not at this. The hour is coming, which all
that are in the in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. Oh, my friend, don't be deluded. Maybe one watching on tonight, and you've fallen for the lie of the press. Don't be deluded. We all meet God. I mentioned there the press. I was absolutely appalled this week as I read in one of the local papers an awful article. I'll not mention the paper. But the article was so awful that I phoned them and told them what I thought of it. God was mocked in that article. But here's what the author said in part of it. He spoke of death. And he mocked death. And he says, death's that old thought that always comes up to you when you're painting the garden fence and you can never get it out of your head. And then he says this, well, I'm not going to die. I'm confident that genetic science will put an end to all this savage nonsense within the next 10 years and will look back on death and say, where's your sting now? That was in a Northern Ireland paper this week. Let me tell you, dear people, genetic science doesn't take the sting from death. The blood of Christ does. I'm confident, he says. And then he mocked death and he mocked my Christ. The delusion that goes abroad. The delusion that spread. There's no judgment. There's no resurrection. Dear sinner in this meeting, marvel not at this. The hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear Christ's voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto a resurrection of life. And they that have done evil unto a resurrection of damnation. Young person in this meeting, don't listen to the teaching of hell's library. Because hell's library will land you bang square in the middle of hell. That's exactly what it's designed to do. The delusion about it. But what about the deliverance from this second death? You see, sinner, many accuse Free Presbyterians of being hellfire preachers. We're not. You want to hear a hellfire preacher? You listen to a Muslim preacher. You want to hear a hellfire preacher, you listen to a liberal. Or you listen to an ecumenist. Or you listen to someone with no message, because that's exactly where I'll land you. The gospel is not the message of hellfire. The gospel is the message of deliverance from hellfire. Understand that. And there is deliverance from the second death. There's deliverance from it. And where's it found? It's found in Jesus Christ alone. Go back with me to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. And hear the Lord speaking to the church in Smyrna. And some of them were martyred. And some of them were persecuted for their faith in Christ. But look what it says in verse number 11. Revelation 2:11. He that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Shall not be hurt of the second death. Who was addressing them? It was the Christ of God. He's addressing John. He's saying, John, write this down. Take it to the churches. Go to Revelation 1 verse 5. Here's the Lord himself telling us where the message came from. The whole book of the Revelation. Christ gave it. Look at Revelation 1 verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and have made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Oh, friend, do you see it? There's deliverance from the second death. Unto him that loved the sinner, washed him from his sins in his own blood. That blood that flowed from Emmanuel's veins. That blood that was shed at the place called Calvary. That blood that satisfied divine justice. Sinner friend, listen tonight. I'm not pointing you to genetic science. I'm pointing you to the Redeemer's death, the blood of Christ. And I'll cleanse you now from all sin. You say, preacher, even what I've done, I don't care what you've done. Unto him that loved us, washed us from our sins in his own blood, and made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. You can be saved in a moment. Forgiven. Well, what a word that is. Forgiven. Dear unsaved friend in this meeting, what a word forgiveness is. Lets the troubled soul put the head on the pillow and sleep like a baby. Forgiven. The blood is washed. The conscience no longer condemns them. Sinner, the second death is for those that have never been forgiven for their sins. The question is, where is this forgiveness found? Unto him, unto Christ that loved us, washed us from our sins in his own blood, made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. Sinner, do you want to be forgiven tonight? Remember an old gospel hymn as I was growing up as a boy. I know a fount where sins are washed away. I know a place where night is turned to day. Burdens are lifted. Blind eyes made to see. It's the wonder-working power in the blood of Calvary. I tell you, it's the very deliverance from the second death. Young person in this meeting, life ahead of you. May God bless you in it. But I tell you this, don't live it without Christ. Because at this moment, young and old, you're heading for the second death. You're heading for a day when both your body and soul will be cast into the lake of fire, and Christ will cast you into it. The horror of the moment. When those pierced hands that would have redeemed you and washed you from your sin, and you're driven out of his presence, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming when all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall be summoned forth. Sinner, let's get down to this a minute. Let's just get to it. Were the voice to be heard now, and our generation is the generation that's not going to die. What I mean by that, pass through death, separating of the body from the soul. Where would it leave this congregation tonight? Would families be together in heaven? Would they be? Let's face it. I'll tell you this, friend. Jacob and Esau were twins, and they're separated forever. They had a godly father and mother, and they're separated forever. Because Jacob's awaiting a resurrection unto life, and Esau's awaiting a resurrection unto damnation. Because they died unforgiven, or he died unforgiven. The unsaved friend in this meeting were the trump to sound, and don't say it couldn't. Or were you to go through the first death and the soul depart? Would we ever see you again? Would your Sunday school teacher ever see you again? Would the minister and elders and friends that have prayed for you, would they ever see you again? Would they have that comfort in their soul? I'll meet them in the sweet by and by on that beautiful shore. I tell you, friend, right down this congregation, there's a line of demarcation. It's a line that I wish with all my heart and all that's in this sinner saved by grace, it's a line I wish wasn't here. Because I wish this message that I'm preaching tonight was relevant to nobody. Because the Bible makes it clear that no believer has a part in the second death. But some of you, friends, are on your way to it. Marching down that road towards it. Oh, friend, however the devil's doing it, however he's alluring you, however he's deceiving you, may God open your eyes. May you do what Lot was told to do, escape, slip away, get out of the road of this. Because it's coming. It's coming. The God of mercy stood at the pool of Bethesda and said, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming when all that are in the grave will hear his voice and shall come forth judgment." Sinner friend, is it not time to come to Christ? In these closing moments of a gospel meeting, is it not time to escape and flee from the wrath which is to come? And call upon God now in the quietness of your soul. Two dear souls did it this week. Came to Christ. Sinner friend in this meeting, the hour is coming. Jesus said it. The world, every tick of the clock gets nearer. Someday soon a trumpet's going to sound in heaven. And it's the end of the world as we now know it. And sinner, you need to get ready for it. Because there's deliverance from this second death. It's found in Christ. His righteousness will cover your guilt. His blood will wash you from your sins. It'll prepare you for heaven. From this moment on, you'll be Christ, and God will be your Father. And He'll lead you safely home to glory. And as Revelation 2 makes it clear, you'll have no part in the second death. Sinner, come to the Savior. He bids you come. Remember the setting in which he made that statement, marvel not at this. He had just saved a man and healed him there at the pool of Bethesda. And were we to be able to see into heaven tonight, we would see him. Gathered round the crystal sea with the Savior, with God and with the Lamb. Sinner, it's time to come to Christ. Face it in your own heart tonight. Salvation's a personal matter. The person beside you can't be saved for you. You can't be saved for them. It's between you and God. But marvel not at this. The hour's coming when all that are in the graves will hear his voice and will come forth. They that have done good unto a resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto a resurrection of damnation. Let us unite our hearts in prayer. And while every head is bowed, and the Lord's people are praying, unsaved friend, you need to come to Christ. Your soul's in danger, friend. We don't condemn you. Only God can condemn. We love your soul. We want to see you saved. If we could save you, if we could carry you, if we could renew your will, we would do it right now. There's not a believer here wouldn't do it for you. We love your soul. We want to see you saved. Sinner, you need to come to him. Come to Christ now. Quietness of your soul, lift your heart and say, God, have mercy on me. If you want to speak to me in the minister's room, go there. If you don't even want to tell me at the door, don't. Just make your way to the minister's room. I'll see you in there. It's your soul we're talking about. Whatever I can do to help you, make it known. Come to Christ tonight. Be saved tonight. Backslider, come home. Dear sinner, there's a Savior. Thank God Jesus loves the sinner. God sent him to die for them, that they might go at last to heaven, washed in his precious blood. You want to be saved, you speak to me after it. Speak to a friend that's with you. Whatever way we can help you. Almighty God and Father in heaven, in the eternal name of Jesus Christ, we commit this meeting and its affairs now to thee. O God, speak with that voice of mercy. Ere that day comes when the voice is heard and all the graves will open, and some here be found without a Savior. O God, speak with that voice of mercy. Thou who delightest to pardon, won't thou pardon tonight? Thou who delightest to save, won't thou save tonight? And glorify your blessed Son and our only Lord. And until that day, when all that are in the grave shall hear your voice, until then, may grace, mercy, and peace from Father, Son, and Holy Ghost be with the Lord's church tonight, and forever. Amen.